This is the Pet Podcast on Pets.ca for August 16, 2007. Hi there, everyone, and welcome to the Pet Podcast on Pets.ca. My name is Marco. We are coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and today is August 16, 2007. For today's show, we have an interview that we did with Dr. Lee about laser surgery in cats and dogs. Basically, laser surgery is becoming more and more popular, and we discuss when to use it, the advantages of it, and choosing a surgeon in general, be it a laser surgeon or a conventional surgeon, and discussing all matters related to surgery, or some matters related to surgery, and it's quite an interesting podcast. But before we get into that, I'd like very much to thank Kenny, who left a positive comment with regard to the podcast that we did last time with Elizabeth Simpson of Tenderfoot Training. In that podcast, we talked about humping and mounting behavior in dogs that are both fixed and not fixed, and it was a really fascinating podcast. Kenny suggested that he learned a lot, and I know I learned a lot, so I do recommend you take a listen if you haven't done so already. As always, comments are so appreciated, so if you want to leave them, you're always more than welcome to, directly on the blog at www.pets.ca/blog. You can do so in the forum. We have a dedicated forum for it. At pets.ca, just make your way to the forum. And of course, you can also leave comments by sending them directly to me at pets.ca@gmail.com. And it's always appreciated. Now on to our positive pet news. I've unilaterally decided to change the title. We were calling it Good Muse for a while, but not so into it, because it's a bit generic, muse, cats and dogs and pets in general, since pets have paws. I thought, why not? Okay, it's not the most original title, but the positive pet news, I think it's going to be. So for today's positive pet news, positive spelt P-A-W-S, of course, on the positive pet news for today, I'd like to make mention to the Meals and Wheels program in Santa Clara County in California. This story comes from the Contra Costa Times, and links will go in the show notes, of course. And basically, the story talks about the Meals on Wheels program, where, you know, volunteers bring meals to seniors that have a hard time getting out and have a hard time affording food. And what they were noticing is that a lot of these seniors have pets, and because they couldn't afford food, you know, a lot of people can't. And because they, you know, they were making choices whether to feed themselves or feed their pets, and they were giving a lot of the meals that they received to their pets. So what's been happening is that they started a program whereby the Meals on Wheels people also bring pet food to these seniors. And, you know, I just wanted to give that a really big paws up kind of thing, because that's really sweet. You know, it lets seniors really enjoy their pets. Often their pets are their main source of company, unfortunately. And, you know, now they really don't have to make decisions on whether who to feed themselves or their pets. So I really thought that that was a warm story, and I wanted to bring mention to it. Should anyone want to give donations to that program, of course, they would be greatly, greatly appreciated, as donations always are. And I'm going to be sure to put up links in the show notes. So now on to today's interview with Dr. Lee. We haven't heard from him in a while, but we're going to hear from him now. And rather than talk about the interview, as always, let's get right into it now. So I'd like very much to welcome back Dr. Lee to our podcast. It's been a couple of weeks since we've put out our last one, but we've been on vacation, and we did meet Dr. Lee, and it was a pleasure to do so. So we're happy to have Dr. Lee back on the line. Hi there, Dr. Lee.
Hello. Good to be back.
Thanks again for joining us. And today we thought we would talk a little bit about laser surgery with cats and dogs. Laser surgery is something that's becoming more and more popular. And Dr. Lee has a fair amount of knowledge with regard to laser surgery, so we thought we would get the benefit of his insight. So Dr. Lee, can you tell us what, in a nutshell, what are some of the benefits of laser surgery?
The benefits of laser surgery is, instead of just cutting with a traditional scalpel, the laser seals as it cuts. So you seal the blood vessels, the nerves, and lymphatics. So the result, you get less bleeding, less pain, less swelling. Those are the primary advantages. The other advantage is there's a added degree of sterility, because as you're vaporizing or ablating through the tissue, any type of microbes that would be there will also get ablated with that.
Can almost all surgeries now be done through laser, or are there still surgeries that really need to be done with a scalpel? How prevalent is laser surgery, and how prevalent will it become?
As far as how prevalent it will become, it's kind of hard to say, because in human medicine, it has been out. It's come in vogue. In some areas in medicine, it's persisted, and in other areas, it has not. What's interesting is that with laser, it actually opens more doors than it closes. There's really not a lot of surgeries that can't be done by laser. Virtually everything that can be done with a scalpel can be done with a laser. And in addition to that, it allows for surgeries that we just never thought possible before. There are surgeries that we can do in ways that can help pets with a laser that I would not be able to in any way attempt with a traditional scalpel approach.
Can you give us an example?
A couple things that we do with a lot of the puppies. There's some of the small dogs like Boston that have the brachycephalic or the shorter nose syndrome. They will have what's called stenotic nares, where their holes in their nose is too small. Typically, this will be a complex syndrome where they will also get an elongated soft palate. And if corrected, this can lead to inverted saccules inside of the throat and sometimes can predispose to collapsed trachea. Before the surgery, would be taking a wedge out of the nose and then putting very delicate suture. It would be very easy for these patients to go ahead and rub the suture right open and destroy the surgical site. Also, for the back of the throat, do the elongated soft palate, you'd need some specialized equipment, and there were some risks. There have been a number of dogs that have bled to death with this procedure just due to continued bleeding in the back of the throat. With the laser, both of these procedures are done quickly, easily, and with no sutures. When the laser hits the tissue, it literally vaporizes the tissue, and the tissue, that area is no more. So we're able to remodel the tissue with no postoperative bleeding. It's not painful, so the pets are not bothering or disturbing the sites. We just remodel the tissue, take off what's extra, and it's a very quick and simple, painless procedure.
Cool, that's super interesting. Is there also an advantage with regard to anesthesia?
With the anesthetics, I would say that may be one of the disadvantages is with the laser. With a traditional scalpel, the end of the blade is where it cuts. With the laser, and depending on which type of laser you're using, that beam continues to cut long past where the tip is. With a waveguide system, which is the most common type of laser, the cutting is within a couple millimeters of the tip, but you will get continued laser light and cutting up to many inches past where that tip is. With articulated arms, it is a laser beam that continues on virtually indefinitely, so you can cut up to many feet across. So when you're dealing with anesthetics and you're using a gas anesthetic with oxygen being mixed in, there are some hazards and risks that need to be addressed. As far as the level of anesthesia, it is nice because it is a lot less painful than a traditional scalpel surgery. And so we can keep them at a lower level of anesthesia without having the patients feel what's going on.
Are there times when, if you were using a scalpel, you might have to put the patient under general anesthesia, but because the laser is so precise, you would then have to put the patient under only local anesthesia?
No, it's a good question, but the cutting of the laser is still painful. What is different is that as it cuts, it actually seals the primary nerve and does not stimulate the secondary nerves, whereas a scalpel is going to trigger and transect both. So what is going to happen is the post-op is going to be less painful. But the actual cutting or incising with either the scalpel or a laser is going to be uncomfortable.
And cost. A lot of people are going to wonder if laser surgery is more or less expensive in general than comparable surgeries with a blade. How does cost factor into this?
In general, it will add cost. There's no doubt about that. In general, most laser surgeons are not going to add a lot more than others. Sometimes that can range anywhere from $50 to $100 more per surgery. In some ways, when you're dealing with a lot less post-operative discomfort, less bleeding, sometimes less need for as much pain medication, I don't know that it's necessarily going to cost you more in the long run, and certainly it's going to be a lot more comfortable for your pet.
As you mentioned, might it shorten their stay at a veterinarian's office?
In certain surgeries, it absolutely will.
Okay, so in certain surgeries, it may actually end up being cheaper because they're spending less days being boarded?
Correct.
So I guess it obviously varies surgery by surgery.
It varies surgery by surgery. When you take a look at the cost on your bill, there will be an additional charge of the laser, or you will see that the surgical cost is higher than someone that's doing it with a blade. It's not always the case, but generally. And like you had mentioned, when you take a look at the overall bill and you start looking at all the additional pain medication that may or may not be needed or the additional stays, then I don't know that you're necessarily going to be incurring more cost, and you may actually be saving.
And I guess I'd like to ask, because a lot of people may ask their own vets now about it after hearing this podcast, what type of certification is necessary to perform laser surgery? Is there certification? Who can do it? Are there tales we should be aware of? What should we know about veterinarians performing this type of surgery?
There is certification available, and sometimes the good and the bad thing about it is that in order to perform laser surgery, you do not need to be certified in order to do it. Any veterinarian that has access to a laser can use that in their daily surgery. Depending on the type of laser that they're being used, some are a lot easier than others. With carbon dioxide laser, with minimal training and study, you should be able to effectively use that laser in day-to-day surgery. There's other types of lasers, such as ND-YAG lasers. Those are much more complex and a little bit more difficult to use, and how it reacts with the tissue is a lot different. So those are things that are going to require a lot more training.
You know, I guess ultimately what people may want to know, if some veterinarian buys laser equipment, is he going to be able to use it effectively without training? It seems like he's allowed to use it, but is he going to be any good at it without any training?
That's a hard one to answer.
Okay.
It's really going to depend on the individual doctor. I mean, I think with the way that just medicine is, it's very important for the doctors to know their own limitations. And there are some things that I think all veterinarians that we have done that are first time for us as well as the patients. It just has to do with level of comfort of whether or not you feel confident of what to do. There's certainly surgeries that I've done, procedures and medications that I've done that I've never done before, but I feel it's the best for the pet and I feel comfortable and confident in doing so. In those cases, works out very well. In cases that I feel that I need some guidance, then I will be more than happy to refer. So I think it comes back to finding a veterinarian that you trust, that doesn't feel that they can do everything, because none of us can. I think the additional certification is a wonderful thing. There is a veterinary laser society. I think most of the doctors that are using and employing the lasers in everyday practice are members of the Veterinary Laser Society. You can go on their website, and you can certainly get a list of all the different doctors that have gone through the certification. There's more and more every year. But the certification is a new item, and I would say there's a lot of people that are using lasers that have not yet gone through the certification. And some of those are extremely talented laser surgeons.
Have you yourself gone through the certification?
I have.
Okay. When we spoke at the beginning, you said that there are people that the vets that only do laser surgery, and that's because they studied that specialty?
No, there's specialties of surgery, and if you are a board-certified surgeon, that is a specialty. Those people have gone back after their doctorate. They have gone into internships and then a residency and then sat for a board examination, and they are board-certified surgeon. With the laser, it's separate. The certification is not a specialty. What the certification is you go through, there's a certain number of course hours that you need to do, certain books that you need to read, wet labs that have to be attended, and then there's an examination that you sit for. And it basically, if you're proving to a board that you have competency in basic laser surgery. But as far as a specialty, it's not recognized as a specialty yet. The people that are doing laser surgery solely, most of those are not board certified surgeons. It gets really complex, and I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of illegal speak.
I see your point there, of course. I guess at the end of the day, what our average listener is going to want to know is, okay, if they think laser surgery is the best option for their pet, how should they feel comfortable, either in Canada or the U.S.? I know there is a veterinary surgical laser society here in Canada, and I'm going to try and put some links in the show notes. But at the end of the day, people that are going to do this for their pets have their best interests in heart and want to make the best decisions possible. How can they feel most comfortable that they're getting a good vet with a good amount of experience, that they should feel safe if it's not as established as maybe it will be in a few years?
The best way is going to be finding a veterinarian that you trust. I mean, unfortunately, that's just, it comes down to that so many different times. I mean, I know that I travel a long way to see my dentist just because I really do trust him. And depending on the general feel and competency of your doctor, that's ultimately going to be the key.
Okay. And I guess, of course, getting referrals from other people that you trust are also going to be, you know, something that's going to make you feel a lot better as well, obviously.
Absolutely. The reason that you want to go, when you want to go see a specialist, a surgical specialist, is for dealing with very challenging and difficult surgeries, of which a large degree of experience is needed, and in situations that are not seen on a routine basis. For example, one of my dogs actually did take to the surgeon because she needed a very specific throat surgery. The surgeon, she does these surgeries all the time. This would be a first one. So even with the laser or without, the level of the surgery of dealing with and manipulating the articular cartilage inside of the throat was something that is above and beyond what a normal surgery is done. So for those types of situations, that's where you want to find a specialist. When you're dealing with something that is a surgery that we deal with all the time, bays, neuters, tumor removal, lacerations, splenectomies, sternotic nares, routine surgeries like that, then what the laser does is it adds the benefit of the less pain, the less swelling, the less bleeding, and so it allows the normal surgery to be done easier and in many ways better.
Okay, so even though you fully would have been able to do that surgery, because it's not your specialty, you referred out, and you would expect any other good vet to do the same. They could do the surgery, they have the training, they're legally entitled to do it. It's just a level of experience and truly giving the best to the patient. And like you say, I guess maybe to recap, it really is a matter of trust. If you trust your vet, then you trust that if they're not super comfortable with any procedure, they're going to refer out to someone that is.
Correct. And finding the veterinarian that is comfortable with everything and does not refer out, that probably is a problem.
Right, because there's way too much knowledge in the world for any single person in any single profession to know it all.
Right, and it's just the same as going to your own doctor. Seeing your own doctor that can do everything, that's not realistic. With human doctors, they refer multiple times within. And even when you take a dog to a specialty clinic, typically they will be referring within. They often don't read their own x-rays. They get a radiologist to do it. And so even with their cases, they're referring within. So I think finding the veterinarian that is never comfortable with referring, that comes from an older view that may not be providing the best care for your pet.
Excellent. So I think that might cover it for today's podcast. I can hear some dogs barking in the background, so I'm guessing that they already need your attention. But thanks so much, Dr. Lee. This was really quite informative on the laser surgery part of it and the general surgery part of it, and just knowing when to refer out or when your vet should refer out, and finding a vet you can trust. So thanks so much again, Dr. Lee, and I know we'll be speaking to you again really shortly.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much.
So thanks, as always, to Dr. Lee for that great interview. He gives us such great information. It's really such a pleasure to have him do those interviews with us. And like we mentioned really quickly at the beginning of the podcast, we were lucky enough to meet Dr. Lee a few weeks back when we were in Phoenix. And he's such a sweet guy. You know, he's been so generous answering questions on the bulletin board and doing these fantastic interviews with us and just sharing his knowledge, that if you are looking for a veterinarian in the Phoenix area or the Mesa area, you should really check Dr. Lee out, because I really think you're going to like him. And if you wanted to check out his website, it's already at aachospitals.com, and you can check him out from his website as well. But it's worthwhile meeting him.
And in terms of the podcasts that we do with Dr. Lee or with other guests, if you want to get them regularly, as always, you can subscribe for free via iTunes just by clicking the button on the front page of the blog, subscribe in iTunes, and that way every time you put one out and you open up iTunes, you receive the podcast automatically. And aside from being able to listen to podcasts, iTunes is great for finding podcasts. And you can find podcasts on any subject whatsoever, from pets to basket weaving, religion to furniture making, anything actually. And iTunes is wonderful for that. The only issue that some people have with iTunes is that it is a bit of a memory hog. So that, let's say you already know what podcasts you want to listen to, you don't necessarily have to open up iTunes to listen to them. Something that I've been really enjoying lately is called Google Reader. And basically, you just go to reader.google.com and you can have all your podcasts or blogs in one neat, simple place. There's nothing to download, and it's just so user-friendly. So just go to reader.google.com, follow the very simple directions, and then if you want to list this podcast, which I hope you do, you just put in our address, www.pets.ca/blog, and then every time we put one out, once you load up Google Reader, our podcasts will magically be there. And you can listen, of course, to many other different podcasts on all kinds of different subjects, or you could subscribe to blogs. You know, podcasts are audio recordings, blogs are just written words, and you can do both, all in the same place. So I highly recommend it, and give it a try. And unlike iTunes, Google Reader is not at all a memory hog. It loads up super fast, and you can start listening to the podcasts almost immediately because they seem to stream from Google servers. So I actually use both. I use iTunes to find the podcasts I want to listen to, and then I basically subscribe to them in iTunes as well as in Google Reader. And then when I just want to listen to the podcasts, normally I just open up Google Reader because it's so much faster and I can listen to the podcasts right away. And that's going to do it for this week's podcast. Thanks so much for listening as always. We should be back really shortly with a new podcast. And as always, until then, please give your pets a little scratchy under the chin from Marco. Bye for now. Oh,